with the theory consideration regarding symmetry developed in section 2, we can now go to the first step in the treatment of polyatomic molecules and consider translational motion. So the Hamiltonian of an isolated molecule after von Oppenheimer approximation, so the nuclear part of the problem, can be in the most general terms given like the kinetic energy of all capital N atoms. So this is always the kinetic energy of the nth atom plus the total potential. The potential is invariant under translation. So the potential doesn't depend on where I put my molecule in space. So I can move all atoms simultaneously by vector delta x in space without changing the value of the potential. That's invariance under translation. The molecule doesn't know where it is. It doesn't need to know where it is in space. The interaction between the different atoms in a molecule doesn't depend where I locate the molecule in space. So this translation translates my original x into an x plus delta x. So each xn can be is now move to a new position xn tilde vector, which is given as the original xn vector times my displacement vector delta x. And of course, adding a constant to a variable, it doesn't change any derivatives. So the Laplacians here are not affected. They're the same Laplacians, so they're now Laplacians in delta x tilde. The kinetic energy is invariant under this operation because just of simple substitution rules of differential calculus. And of course, my potential is invariant. So kinetic energy is invariant, potential is invariant under translation, so the full Hamiltonian is invariant under translation. Clear, it's simultaneous translation of all atoms, not only of a single atom. This, of course, would change things. So here we have one fundamental symmetry, the translation of the complete system, and the Hamiltonian is invariant under this translation, and thus commutes with the infinitesimal generator of the corresponding operation, translation of the full system. So to make use of this, we now have to identify the infinitesimal generator of the symmetry operation, translation of the whole system. That's what we're doing now. The infinitesimal generator has to be derived, so we take the original wave function in the coordinates x, and we shift our system by delta x vector. So we now consider the wave, so we map the wave function depending on x on the wave function depending on x tilde, and x tilde is always x plus delta x. Then we can do a Taylor expansion around the original positions x1 to xn of this wave function. And since we are only interested in the infinitesimal generator, we can drop all terms beyond the first order. So I get the zero order term. And the first order term is just being summing all the derivatives with respect to all the coordinates. So I have delta x for the first coordinate times the derivative with respect to the first coordinate vector, so napla on x1, so that would be essentially dx1, dy1, dz1, acting on the wave function. So that's the first order term in the Taylor expansion resulting from atom 1, and the same from atom 2 until atom n. Thus, this can be written after getting rid of the higher orders as 1 plus delta x vector times the sum of all Laplacians with respect to the different atoms acting on the wave function. And again, I can relate the derivative operators, the Laplace with the momentum operators, because delta xn equals I over h bar p vector n. So this can be written as 1 plus I over h bar delta x vector times the sum of all momentum operators of all atoms. And here now I can just introduce new operator for the sum of all momenta, which I call the total momentum operator capital P. And we see that the total momentum, the sum of all momenta of all atoms, gives us the infinitesimal generator for the total translation. So, not a momentum of one atom, any particular atom, but the sum of all momenta. The total momentum corresponds to the total translation. So the total momentum is the one we want to have to deal with this symmetry under translation. Of course, the different Cartesian coordinates of the momentum operators, so the total momentum in x, y, and z, commute, because it's a simple momentum. We later on see that, of course, angular momentum will be a different story, but here we happily note that the three components of the total momentum operator commute. And of course, if we have a symmetric system, they will also commute with the Hamiltonian. But first, we can now change from the kind of infinitesimal translation to an arbitrary translation by noting that, of course, the translational operator for an arbitrary translation, delta x vector, is e to the I over h bar delta x vector times total angular momentum operator vector again, because I have x, y, z components. And this can be just written as the product over all particles, because p equals sum n equals to n p n, as the product over all particles of the translational operators of the corresponding, say, in x direction, delta x times px n particle, delta y times py of the nth particle, and so on. So I get a product over all components, x, y, z, and a product over all particles. And, as already shortly mentioned, any component of the total Momentia operator has to commute with the Hamiltonian if the Hamiltonian is invariant under translations. So the Hamiltonian and the three components of the total angular momentum are simultaneously diagonalizable. Thus, the eigenvalues of Px and Py are resulting in good quantum numbers. So I can separate the corresponding degrees of freedom for my total wave function. We can detail this and consider explicitly the dependence of the full wave function on the center of mass. So the center of mass vector is given by the sum over all particles, mass of particle n divided by the total mass times the Cartesian vector of particle n. So my total wave function, depending on the Cartesian coordinates of the n atoms, can be written as the wave function depending on the always the Cartesian position of particle n minus the center of mass. So we reference now all distance vectors to the all coordinate vectors to the center of mass. And since that is adding minus xs to each coordinate, this can be compensated for by just afterwards translating the wave function by xs. So psi of x1 to xn can be written as translational operator translating by xs, acting on psi of x1 minus xs to xn minus xs. I can express the translational operator here of course by this exponential depending on the total momentum operator times my wave function from above. Since I'm now considering a wave function psi p, which is an eigenfunction to the total translation operator, total momentum operator p, with the eigenvalues p vector, it's px, py, pz, then this wave function must have the form, this wave function must have the form where this, because it's all the, because I'm looking for the wave function is the eigenfunction of the total momentum, I can replace this total momentum operator here just by its eigenvalues. So I get e to the minus I, e exponential of I over h bar xs times the vector of the momentum eigenvalues times the above wave function here, which refers all position vectors to the center of mass. Effectively, this wave function is now only 3n minus 3 dimensional, since one coordinate vector gets redundant, since everything is referred to the center of mass, which removes 3 degrees of freedom. And you see that I'm now having a perfect separation of translational motion, because I have an eigenfunction of the total Hamiltonian, which is of course simultaneous eigenfunction of the total Hamiltonian and the total momentum operator, which can be written as a function in the center of mass, describing the overall rotation, which is just a plane wave. Because this is just a plane wave describing the motion of the center of mass times remaining wave function, which is no longer depending on where I put my center of mass, because everything is referred to the center of mass. So here I'm finally accurately separated translational motion from remaining rotational and internal motion without invoking any approximation. So that is really nice how symmetry here allows you to treat the translational problem rigorously based only on symmetry and the knowledge of the plane wave solutions of the free particle. So translation is separable and will be gone. However, one tiny thing remains I've not addressed here. That is, of course, that this wave function here is not normalized. So we really want to kind of get an explicit form for this. We have to reconsider the problem of normalizing a plane wave function, which we have skipped in the simple lectures, introductory lectures. And this will be the motivation for developing a bit more theory, or better kind of learning a bit of theory, more complicated mathematical theory called distribution theory, in the next chapter.